Welcome to the Full Press Packers Pod, part of Full Press Coverage. My name is Kyle Senra, and joining me is my co-host, Jesse Hall. How you doing, Jesse?
Hey, Kyle, I'm doing pretty good, and it's been a long damn time since we could say Happy Victory Monday.
Yes, by beating the Dallas Cowboys 31-28 in overtime, the Packers avoided the longest losing streak in my lifetime. We had talked about it in the previous episode. They were on a five-game losing streak up before this game, and that matched a five-game losing streak in Rodgers' rookie season, and Brett Favre had one in 2004, the four-win season he was part of. But if they had lost this game, it would have been the longest losing streak since 1988 inside of a single season. They lost seven straight during that season. I think there's another point where they had lost seven straight games over the end of one season, beginning of the next, but a seven-game losing streak during 88 is still... You know, they still haven't had a losing streak longer than that since then. But that's good. It's good to avoid it. And yeah, victory against the Cowboys. So what were your thoughts about the win, Jesse?
Finally, this team played complimentary football. Was it the prettiest thing in the world? No. But you actually saw a team out there this game. They faced some adversity. They kept together. Great game plan from all levels. It was just a well... They were a unit again. It was nice to see. Everybody was basically, for the most part, on the same page. Of course, yeah, again, Dallas is a good football team. It could have been real ugly. It could have got even uglier after we got down 14. But this team stuck together and pulled through. It was fun to watch and see a heartbeat from this team again.
It seems like every game there was that one thing that went wrong and suddenly the whole game plan just went, completely collapsed, and the confidence, especially in the offense, just didn't exist, against the Vikings. And I know they pointed out in this game, Christian Watson, he had three touchdowns, and they kept, after his first one, they of course played the play in Minnesota, but it was such a pivotal play that the first play of scrimmage for the Packers, a deep, what could have been touchdown, is dropped. Right. And see, like, that just nullified the offense. The Washington game, I think it wasn't even on offense. It was the Amari Rodgers fumble on special teams. Which, again, that happened again, the Cowboys. Maybe Amari Rodgers shouldn't be returning punts. Maybe Amari Rodgers shouldn't be on this team. Oh, well, they don't really have a choice at this point. But that was the thing that kicked it off. And that one really concerned me, because up to that point, everything that kind of one game was a fumble. I think it was an Aaron Jones fumble or an A.J. Dillon fumble. One of the running backs fumbled. And that really turned the momentum in that game. Was that the Giants game, I believe, in London? The Jets game, there really was no moment. They never win that game. But up until that Washington game, everything of those, that one thing that went wrong and nullified the offense completely the rest of the game happened on offense. What was concerning about the Washington game was that it was a special teams play. So that seems like the Packers avoided that. Like, there wasn't one thing that derailed the whole game plan for them on offense.
Yeah, and there was blunders. I mean, Christian Watson dropped two passes on the first drive of the game. And, like, here we go again. Kudos to Aaron Rodgers to keep feeding the kid and supporting him, because we all know Rodgers and the history with him. You drop a ball early, you're probably not going to see one. Granted, he didn't have a lot of options, but the game plan obviously was to run the ball and get Christian Watson involved, and for him to come back and make some plays after early drops, it was awesome. The physical tools are there. I mean, they couldn't cover him. He was the fastest guy in the field. As far as when we were on offense, he was the fastest guy on the field, and he showed it. They could not keep up with him.
Some things still concerning. It seems like he gets open really well, and that's going to earn Rodgers trust. If you can consistently get open, like you said, just with him, a lot of it's his sheer speed. So they're also smart on the floor to design routes that'll best utilize his skill set in order to get open. But even some of those touchdowns, he's still kind of body catching them and not like hands catching like Romeo Dubs would, which shows maybe why Rodgers had more confidence in Dubs from the get-go. So Watson still kind of has to work on that, but at least he can, he can mostly make those catches. But it does seem very MVS-ish where it's, okay, yeah, this three-touchdown game came, but you mentioned some drops still. Maybe shouldn't not expect to have drops in the next game either, so... some muted optimism, we'll say, about Christian Watson.
Yeah, I mean, there's still stuff he needs to clean up, but the physical tools are there, and we'll take it. With the two young guys, a lot of MVS, like you said, to his game. But I don't know. The athletic traits are just mind-boggling. I don't think MVS moved side to side like this kid does. Yeah, it was good to see. when you look at that injury report coming into this game, I mean, let's be honest. It's like, oh, just try to keep it close was the hope. And Green Bay kept it close and came out with a win when it could have been ugly. I mean, I think a lot of us thought it was going to be ugly.
Do you think Matt LaFleur outcoached Mike McCarthy?
Oh, easy. Mike McCarthy did some pretty boneheaded stuff late in that game. But, yeah, I think Matt LaFleur outcoached him. Matt LaFleur did great. And Rodgers even got on Matt LaFleur for not running the ball one time, you know, late in the game. He was pissed because we didn't run the football on a fourth down. I like to see that fire. It was a great game plan. You know, we gave up yardage, but the team came together, but we moved the ball well. I think we kind of established the identity going forward. We're going to run the ball. Goal should be to run for about 200 yards. And if you can get some shot plays in there with Christian Watson or whoever, take them. So I like the approach.
It's funny because when that was happening, I was thinking, man, the last time I saw Aaron Rodgers actually yell at his head coach on the sideline that much, Mike McCarthy was also in the building. It just, he was on the Packers sideline in Lambeau. Probably was that game where after, you know, against the Cardinals, they lost, and then he got fired immediately after, but probably that game. But yeah, I mean, it's interesting. Yeah. That, just that dynamic of it, again, maybe it took McCarthy coming back to kind of, okay, let's really stick it to him, in order to galvanize this team. But, we could get to right at the end. So, I mean, it's, you know, you can maybe question Matt LaFleur's decision, the play call, in at the end of regulation, but certainly the coaching call that would be most questioned is in overtime. The Cowboys in field goal range decide to go for it on fourth, and it wasn't even a fourth and one. It was like a fourth and four. And it's funny because when it was happening, I was thinking, oh yeah, this is classic McCarthy. Just go up to the line and then call the timeout. And when it's not Travis Frederick anymore, whoever the Cowboys center is, when he snapped the ball, I audibly said, he actually snapped it. I can't believe it. This is happening. Because and this wasn't lost at me at all. But someone in one of my group chats had mentioned this as well after the game. Ironically, McCarthy was fired in Green Bay primarily because of his lack of aggressiveness, and you know, kind of burned him here. They didn't convert. Packers took over and they won it with a field goal instead of, you know, kicking the field goal and kind of forcing the Packers into a tough decision. Do they kick for the tie or do they try and win it in a touchdown and maybe risk it there? So it kind of took the risk out of the Packers' hands and they could just easily get into field goal range and win the game.
Yeah, I mean, thanks, Coach McCarthy. I
you're
was
right,
the
final
same
parting way. Gift for all those, right. Those years. Thank you. Yeah, you're right. We should appreciate it more.
Right. And I'm with you. I was thinking the same thing. Like, there's no way they're going to snap this football. No way. And when they did, I was like, my jaw dropped, you know, I was baffled. And then of course, you know, the next fear was, well, of course, you know, typical Packers fashion, they're going to give up, you know, 12 yards, but they didn't. So thank God. We'll take it. There's no apologizing, especially at this point. And in Green Bay, really, just being honest, they played great. Yeah, not great, but they matched up well. You know, Dallas is a good football team. This is a signature win. You know, we made plays when they needed to be made. You know, it just, they got it done when they needed to get it done. Jonathan Ford, I mean, Rudy Ford, we were doing the Rudy chants, you know, bring back that movie. But I think it kind of shows that Savage, you need to stay in the slot because this kid is making plays in your spot at safety.
So with the win, the Packers improved to 4-6. Funny that they're improving to 4-6, but it is what it is. It's a win. Hopefully they can, as you always say, Jesse, stack successes. Two games this week, technically, as they have a Thursday night game up here against the Tennessee Titans. Talked about this when the schedule was first released, in that there'd be some tough stretches to the schedule. And I mean, frankly, from here on out, it's tough teams no matter what. But it's an easy stretch in that it's a Sunday and then Thursday game, but both are at home. So a lack of travel between them maybe eases that lack of rest. So just fortunate how it kind of turned there, because we've seen it before where the Packers have to travel on the road on a Thursday night, last year to the Cardinals, although that was fun because they ended up getting the win anyway. But yeah, so bringing the Titans, and interesting enough, Jesse, I was looking at the lines, just the odds makers dropped the lines for the week, and I was actually a little surprised that the Packers were favored against the Titans, who are leading their division. I mean, what's their record? They've got to be 7-2, 6-3. Like they're doing really good. Sorry, I'll just check that for a second. I should have done that before, but I was a little surprised the Packers were 2.5 point favorites, even though it is at home, again on the Thursday. But I don't know. What are your just initial thoughts going into this game?
I'm fine with that. You know, home game, so you figure 3 points. So it is kind of saying, you know, Titans are favored a little bit. They're a weird team to really judge. Their offense doesn't score a lot of points, kind of like we have been. The only weapon that really scares you is the running game, right? It's Henry, and you gotta force this team to throw the football on you. What they've had 17 points in how many games? Like they have a hard time breaking 20 points for sure, which we have too, you know, to be fair. But yeah, just looking at it right now, they have 3 games in a row of 17 points, and then a 19, and then they finally were over 20 against the Commanders. But
But never more than 24 against the
right.
Raiders and the Colts. They scored 24. That's the most they've scored all season.
Yeah,
Now,
it
the fewest
seems
they've
like they
scored
like
is
Colts.
seven. Again, it was against the Bills, so they're kind of in this comfortable range. You kind of expect them to score between 17 and 25 points. Can the Packers
Yeah.
outdo that?
And it seems like they like close games. No matter who they play outside of the Bills, they're in every ball game. So is that good or bad? Do they play to their opponents? I don't know. To be honest, I haven't seen a lot of their games this year, but they have a sound defense. They have a good head coach who breeds toughness, and they run the football. So it should be a good cold weather. And Thursday nights are always weird. So you can throw the records and everything out. Know what to expect. Stop the run. Stop the run. We're going to be okay.
Well, speaking of the records, I just checked it up. Yeah, they're 6-3. They'd be the 3 or 4 seed. The Ravens are also 6-3. I'm not sure how the tiebreakers would go there, but if the playoffs ended today, they would obviously be winning their division, hosting a wild card game. But yeah, I mean, they were the number one seed last year, so we should expect this from the Titans. I mean, my preseason prediction was that they were going to win the South again. It seems like that's probably going to come true. So we know this is a playoff team. So much like the We expect the Cowboys to be a playoff team as well. They were the case last year, expected to be the case this year. Again, another measuring stick, another tough opponent with a winning record. The Packers not going to quite be able to get to 500, but get a lot closer to 500 with the win. So, as you mentioned it, offensively, just really worried about Derrick Henry. And defensively, that's where you're really worried about the team. But it's funny how very similarly constructed the Packers are, where the strongest unit probably is the defense. Now, we've talked about this has been a matchup that the Packers have had the last couple of seasons. I think this year it's just the conference crossover. They were both the number one seed last year in the conference, so they'll play each other. That's what this game is about. And because I guess last year that game was in Kansas City, so the Packers got the road game last year, the home game this year with that crossover game. But yeah, I think Henry for sure can be a threat, but the Packers in the past have bottled him up these last couple meetings. It's been almost surprising how he hasn't exploded for great production, even when the run defense wasn't great. Now, at times the run defense can be problematic for the Packers, so still look out for that. But I have liked how they've handled him in the past. They don't have Devondre Campbell. That's probably one of the biggest pieces they're missing for that, however.
Yeah, big time. Got to win in the trenches. I know I say it every week. It's a broken record, but you got to win in the trenches. Quay Walker showed some bright spots last week, expect with McDuffie out there also, and also showed some blunders where he took bad angles. But yeah, just win in the trenches and man up, you know, load the box and man up on their receivers. You know, make the receivers have to beat you. There's really no receiver on this team that should really be scary. Not to say that they're not talented. Of course, they're in the NFL. But they're not alphas like some of the other ones we've seen. So I like our chances. Again, they don't score a lot of points. don't give up the big play or long drives, and I think we'll be okay. Their defense, Simmons didn't play last week. That guy's a monster. He's one of the best defensive linemen in the league. But the O line's been holding up really well. I think we're okay. I think it's gonna be a tough game. Again, I do not like Thursday night games, but I like the team that we're playing. Even if they are good, like you said, they're gonna probably win that division. It's not the best division in football, but it's still you got to win each week, right? So, and that's what Green Bay needs to do. So, I'm feeling a lot better about this game than the one that we just won. I'll tell you that.
Well, yeah, speaking of the receivers, I mean, is Treylon Burks as a rookie the best receiver, and he's missed half the season with injury, right? And so he's still kind of working his way back. You've got Robert Woods, Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, the tight end, Austin Hooper. I mean, that's not necessarily, I mean, maybe the next biggest contributor is another rookie in Kyle Phillips. So not really the most confidence in that. And actually, one thing I did want to mention about the Cowboys, Gabe, CeeDee Lamb did have quite a performance. Was it over 150 yards, I believe?
Yeah, two touchdowns. Yeah, just big plays. Yeah, 11 catches, right around 150. I think it was right at 150. I think you're right.
Doesn't this reminds me anyway of the Amari Cooper game where he had like 200 yards against the Packers, but Green Bay still ended up winning. I think Aaron Jones had four touchdowns in that game. So yep. it was okay. You could still allow the big production, but win anyway. And it seems like the Cowboys are the big curse of that. As you mentioned, it's not a big threat. So the idea is Henry could still have a big game and they may not score more. They may not get to 20 points. Like he could have a, you know, 150 yard rushing game, only got one touchdown. They struggled to score 20. The Packers could still win that. So that's, I think, what we need to look out for.
Yeah, the big thing, win the turnover battle. And I'm with you, back to your point. And it'll probably be the last time I talk about it. If Amari Rodgers catches another punt in Green Bay, I'm calling conspiracy theory, because that man should never catch another punt in a Green Bay jersey. Again, he's awful. Let Nixon go back there. He actually looked really good and explosive. Go with Nixon and win the turnover battle, and hopefully we'll have a Victory Friday, hopefully, this week.
To me, though, the problem is, it seems like if Nixon's your returner, you're missing Nixon as a coverage guy for your returner. And that's why I think he hasn't gotten the first chance. Right. They've liked him so much to help out the returners. But if the returner is just going to fumble the football, you're not taking advantage of that anyway. I guess, honestly, the problem with Amari Rodgers, frankly, is if he's not returning punts, he has no use on the team. They really don't want to use him on offense unless it's a break glass in case of emergency. And yep. So why even have him on the team? But you have to, because it's a cheap rookie contract. You bought into it and you still have a couple years left. Or I guess, this will be year three, I suppose, right? Or is this year two?
Unfortunately, year two, but it feels like a lifetime. I'm with you.
Okay, he wasn't – no, Jordan Love – it wasn't the Jordan Love year. That was DeGuara in the third round. Right. Hey, more, at least Aguirre can contribute on offense. Great third round picks. But yeah, so it's, yeah, you're not even halfway through his rookie contract. So you almost feel like he's on this team and they have to kind of figure out his role and replace him next year. But for now, I mean, he's going to have to do something unless they make him the healthy scratch every game. If they've got other players they can put in and fill roles and just to help you scratch him the rest of the season, which I don't think we'd be upset about, but that, you know, they have it, they've invested in him, they have to use him somehow, right? And I'd imagine they'd rather use him on special teams than on offense, clearly.
I don't know. I healthy scratch sounds great to me. Let Kylan Hill, which I know that's where he got injured, but anyone, I don't care. I don't care if you don't even field, put anybody back there on a punt and just let it bounce around for 2 days. I don't care. It's better than a guy that every time he touches the ball, it could be awful.
Yeah, just try and block every punt. That's what you got to do. Just send 12, right. Send 11 guys to block. It doesn't matter about a returner. That's the secret.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I think that's where we're at. So, but
don't run into the punter while they're doing it and take penalties every time.
Right. But yeah, just win the turnover battle and don't have blunders on special teams, and I think we'll be okay.
Now, if the Packers can beat the Titans, it doesn't necessarily give them an in-conference win to kind of – obviously, a win helps their own sites, but when you – you know, at this point, the win against Dallas can almost be counted twice because, you know, the Vikings won again. The Vikings are 8-1. At this point, it's becoming, like, increasingly difficult to foresee the Packers winning the division. So any path to the playoffs probably goes through the wild card. So the Cowboys, who in their division – I mean, they've got an 8-win team in their division – you know, that's probably a prime wild card team that they're potentially competing against right now, third in their division, actually. So that might be a team they're chasing. So getting that win, we've talked about, like, that's kind of brought up with division wins. It almost counts as two wins at this point. Any NFC win, I think, counts double for the Packers. So while that isn't quite the case against the Titans, I think they still have to come out and win this game. It's very important.
Just got to win. That's it. Like you said, you might get three playoff teams out of the NFC East. They'll be fighting for that last spot. Hopefully Seattle falls off a cliff, and nobody in the South outside of who wins that division worries me. But yeah, it's you just got to win. That's it. Find a way. Find a way.
And one last thing, and didn't necessarily want to judge on this too much, but are a bunch of people like really concerned about Rodgers yelling at LaFleur right at the end of regulation, or is it, everything's brushed off because they won?
I don't have a problem with it. Winning matter. Winning changes things, right?
Yeah, just win, whatever your case. Because I was watching the CFL playoffs this weekend, and in the East Final, quarterback Mecole Bethel-Thompson of Toronto, the coach didn't challenge a play, and he was like furiously yelling at him, like walking away, coming back, like it kept going, like much like more aggressive and longer than Rodgers did with LaFleur, to the point where I don't know if it's a quarterback coach or one of the assistant coaches kind of came up to Bethel Thompson and like got in the quarterback's face and was kind of like pushing him back, and like they started shouting and getting at it, and at this point in the game it was really close, one score game, and it was like, oh my God, is this team unraveling? They kind of did that last year in the East Final that they were hosting, so it's like, oh man, deja vu, they're going to repeat. And then they It, I don't know. The rest of the team almost kind of ignored it. They went and they played and they got a big lead before halftime and then never looked back from there. So all through the win, I don't think many people are talking about it, but I remember thinking that, like, okay, if they lose, it'd be magnified. And I'm sure if the Packers lost, we'd be talking about that nonstop about, oh, how why'd he yell at the floor? But yeah, it's just like you mentioned, winning fixes everything. So hopefully they can fix this season and start winning some games here.
Winning covers up a lot of issues. But and to his defense there, I don't know. I get the heat of the moment on that one, but he was actually arguing instead of putting the ball in his hands, why are we not running it here? I think they
Oh,
both get
I
it.
totally agree with Rodgers' logical thinking of if what they were going to do is just punt anyway, you may as
Run the
well just run the clock out and not give Dallas the chance to throw a couple Hail Marys, right?
I
I mean,
agree.
nothing came of it. They went to overtime anyway, but I think Dallas ran one play and then kneeled down because it didn't really go anywhere. I think so. That one play goes somewhere. It might be, but you'd second guess it. But it seemed like it was. Why take the unnecessary hit? And yeah, some seconds came off on the pass. He rolled out, but then he ultimately just, instead of taking a sack, threw it out of bounds, and the clock stops. Right? I think that was maybe his thinking of. Suppose he could have, like Rodgers could have maybe tried to dive for like a gain or something, or not, maybe even a loss or something. Just take a sack without getting hurt, but you don't really want to get hurt, especially with his thumb. So yeah, that was just. It did seem a little unorganized of a sequence, but if that's one sequence in the game, to what again you were mentioning was you thought a really well coached game, which we maybe haven't seen consistently for 60 minutes up to that point. I think that's probably very minimal in the grand scheme of things. And yet we talked about it so long, so I'm sorry, that's my fault. But anyway, if there's any topics that you, the listeners, find important, you can, of course, reach out to us on Twitter at FPC_Packers. Let us know any of your thoughts about anything we talked about, or any Green Bay Packers or NFL thoughts. Of course, you can also follow your co-hosts individually. Jesse's at Hall_JHall1212, and I'm at Senra Says. Also want to shout out PA the Second, who's on Twitter at PA_IIOfficial. He lets us use the song For Your Body as our intro and outro music. And also want to encourage people to download the Full Press Coverage app, which gives you access to all the great Full Press Coverage content in one convenient place. Articles, podcasts, the Full Press Radio Network, everything all in one spot on the Full Press Coverage app, which is free to download, so download today. Jesse, any final thoughts for the listeners?
Hey, it's a quick turnaround. Go Pack, go.
Yeah, quick turnaround, quick episode, doubled up. I suppose we'll probably come back later on this week with a recap episode, which again, Jesse, I'm hoping for a Packers victory in that Thursday night game against the Titans.
Let's go.
Yes, and I guess we'll see if the goal is met on the next episode of the Full Press Packers Pod. The crest for your body.